starting in March 2009, the Obama administration started making a push to essentially rebalance the federal government contract workforce to have more government employees doing the work, services work in particular, that private contractors had been doing. Part of that push was to have OFPP go back and take a look at the definition of inherently governmental. And let me just put a finer point on that. As far back, believe it or not, as the Lincoln administration, President Lincoln made the famous comment that the government should not be in a position to ever compete against its private citizens. And from that grew the concept of having private contractors doing government contract work. The exception to that, of course, is where you have situations that are inherently governmental, like having a military. And now in today's world, the final decision maker on source selection activities or the final decision maker on whether or not a contract should be terminated or go forward or things of that nature. The Obama administration asked OFPP to take a look at that definition of inherently governmental, and essentially OFPP gave some examples of what inherently governmental should be, but really didn't change the definition all that much from what we were working on before. It did put more of an emphasis on things such as closely associated activities with inherently governmental activities or critical functions of agencies. And what I mean by that is you really have three categories of issues to look at. Clearly, under federal law, if an activity is inherently governmental, a private contractor cannot do that work. That work must be performed by a government employee. And I don't think industry has a problem with that as long as activities are properly called inherently governmental. But then you get into the gray area of closely associated activities or critical functions. Those activities are not inherently governmental, but under certain circumstances, that work is the work that we're talking about, that the government, that the Obama administration now wants to be done by government employees. And the reason for that is apparently cost savings. And that's where issues arise as to if you're looking at a function that is deemed to be a closely associated function, how can you determine that it is less expensive for the government to do it than a private contractor? Just looking at it purely from a cost savings aspect.
Sure.
And that's where there are difficulties.
We're speaking with Jacob Pankowski. He is chairman of the Government Contracts Group at the law firm Greenberg Traurig. And at the same time that they embarked on this, the Obama administration stopped the A76 competitions between government and industry. Do you think now that we've had this new definition or this redefinition in place for more than a year now, that to get to that nearly governmental inherent definition, that A76 might be able to make a comeback?
Well, I think perhaps a variant of A76 might make a comeback. And it's interesting that you bring that up because right now in DOD, they issued a directive, what's called a directive type memorandum, DTM 09-007, which by law is required to be used by DOD whenever they're going to be making an insourcing decision. And to be clear, so that your audience is clear, when I'm talking about insourcing and outsourcing, I'm not talking about shipping jobs overseas. I'm talking about whether or not the government is going to be doing this work in-house or insourcing, or if a contractor is going to be doing it or outsourcing. And DTM 09-007 is the costing methodology that DOD is required to use. That methodology, however, is really a step backwards from the types of comparisons that we were doing under A76. For example, one of the great fallacies of trying to compare contractor costs and government costs is overhead. Under the DTM standard, the government is only looking at, or DOD is only looking at, DOD costs. It's not looking at government-wide overhead costs in determining their cost comparison. Under OMB Circular A76, through an extensive negotiation, there was an agreement that the government would use a 12% overhead when trying to determine what their overhead rate was. Of course, 12% overhead is vastly underrepresenting what the government's true overhead cost was, but at least we had something. There are certain things in the DTM that are really a step backwards from trying to determine what a true cost comparison is between a contractor cost and a government-wide cost.
But you know, given the budget constraints, the specter of sequestration that could happen in January, despite the fact that what I'm hearing from you is that this inherently governmental definition, in fact, does not save money. Do you think that more agencies are going to be looking at this type of insourcing, using the definition of inherently governmental to bring those gray areas under its control by and have the work done by federal employees because they believe it saves money?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if you look at what has happened within DOD since all of this started in the spring of 2009, DOD was very excited about using insourcing, and Secretary Gates in April of 2009 announced that that he anticipated that DOD would save 40%. As a result of insourcing jobs as compared to what a private contractor could do. But then once they started down that path, what they realized is it simply wasn't true. In February, I believe it was February 2011, for example, Secretary of the Army put a moratorium on insourcing. With the comment that it simply isn't saving the money that they thought it was going to save. And, you know, there is a policy consideration here because many of these jobs that we're talking about in the private sector are small business companies that we're talking about. And these are companies that have invested a lot of capital, a lot of time to train their workforce. And now either the employees of this small business are being hired by DOD, and the small business company that spent a lot of money training these people are now out of a job. They're out of business, or they're really having to scramble to try to make ends meet. So a lot of these opportunities, a lot of these jobs that we're talking about are really at the heart of growth of the small business community. And I just don't think that we're at a point now where we have the metrics where we can really say that this is saving any sort of money whatsoever for the taxpayer.